Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 together. Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. By the way, boy, what a good crowd on Sunday morning, middle of August. And I was just doing a quick little add-up. I know of 20 regulars that are not here today. So we'd had to be putting more chairs out if they'd all been here. Amen. And I'm excited about it. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 through 6. We'll read this passage responsively. And Romans 8, verses 1 through 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it's ever living, ever true. And God, would you teach it to us today? Holy Spirit, would you help us to focus our minds, help us to focus our spirit, and would you work through us, through the preaching? Lord, I'm a sinner. There's no way that I could help all these people, but your never dying word and your Holy Spirit could do what I could not do. And would you please do that for the people I love most today? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Thank you, Julie. All right, look at me if you will. I want to help you today. God is holy. Everybody look this way. God is holy. God is perfect. And may I say this, God is total righteousness. By the way, when I say God, I mean Jehovah God, not Buddha, not Islam, not Mohammed, not some pot-belly pig somewhere. I'm talking about the God, the creator of the universe. And because of that, God has a right to judge us. According to the Bible, God is the judge of the universe. Say why? Because we are his creation. Just like a mama or a daddy has the right to judge their own children, guess what? God, because he owns us, has the right to judge us. Man is sinful. Have you noticed? Man, by the way, all of us are sinners. Not just what you would call a sinner. All of us are sinners. Now, listen to me very carefully. God did not create us to sin, though. I have knocked on hundreds of thousands of doors, and I'd be shocked if I haven't knocked on over a million doors in my life, I'm sure. May I say this? I hear this often. How could a God that loves people send anybody to a place called hell? God doesn't. You have to understand something. God made man sinless and righteous. And every human being, though, God has given man a free will to choose right or wrong, and every human being has chosen wrong to sin. God did not make us to sin, but he gave us a free will to choose. By the way, God did not make you a robot. He didn't make you as a computer that you would only respond to a certain stimuli and not respond to others. He wanted you to love him because you want to, not because you have to. Now listen, God made you to fellowship with him. But sin puts a barrier between God and man. Do you realize that sin takes the righteousness of man away and God cannot commune with sin? God cannot cohabitate with sin. So there is a breach between God and man, which is our sin and our lack of righteousness. Now listen to this very carefully. Man has a penalty on sin. God said that there is a penalty on sin, and that is death. Not just your body dying, but what's inside of you called your spirit. It's got to go forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And if it's sinful, it cannot go to heaven. It needs something to pay its price for it. Now listen to me. You say then, how could God send people to hell? Listen to me very carefully. Before God ever created man, the penalty of sin had already been established. When Lucifer and his followers in heaven rebelled, went against God, they sinned, and God made hell for Lucifer and his followers. Once man sinned, the same penalty had to come on man, or God's justice would not be there. And God is just. He is perfect justice. Now watch this. It would not be just for God to send the devil and his angels to hell and man not have the same penalty if he sinned. How fair would that be? How just would that be? So the penalty of sin had already been established before man was created. Now listen to me very carefully. The worst part of hell is not the fire. The worst part of hell is the total separation from God. God is light. Hell is total darkness. God is peace. Hell is total confusion, total turmoil. Heaven is a place of no tears. Hell is a place of all tears. Heaven is a place of no pain. Hell is a place of all pain. See the difference? It is the total opposite of what God is. By the way, when Jesus suffered our hell at Calvary for us, he did not die and go to a place and burn for 3 days and three nights. He suffered your hell and my hell on the cross when God the Father, God the Son turned their back in total separation from God the Son for 3 hours at Calvary. And the Son of God himself said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he couldn't take that separation any longer. Now listen. By the way, that means God does not send anybody to hell. Man chooses it because he knows what the end result of sin is. Because of our sin, we have been condemned. We have been condemned to a place called hell. Very interesting, the word condemnation or condemn. We think of the word condemned as broken down. Oh, no, 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 no. The word condemn is a legal term. Condemnation is a legal term. The word to be condemned means this. You have been accused of a crime. You have been tried by a jury. You have been found guilty. And you have been sentenced to punishment. It's not just that something is broken down. It's far deeper than that. The word condemnation means, kind of funny watching Brother Gus sit in the potty house while I'm preaching, all right? Just the mental pictures are just not good here. The word condemnation or condemn means you have been accused of breaking a law. You have been found guilty of breaking that law. You have been tried before a judge, found guilty, and the punishment has been established and issued to you. That's a pretty serious word, isn't it? By the way, man, because of sin, has been condemned to hell. You have been accused of breaking the law. You have been found guilty of breaking the law, and because of the God of the universe, the judge of the universe, he has found you guilty and sentenced you to death in hell. But we read in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Woo! Can I tell you this? The moment you get saved, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're going to break this down. You don't understand that. That doesn't mean just that you don't get the sentence that has been issued to you. There's five other things that come with it that I want to show you today. Number one, because of salvation, there is no condemnation. You also get something called being pardoned. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 8, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me." Do you know what a pardon means? A pardon is this. You have been tried, been accused, tried, found guilty, and the sentence has been given, and somebody of a higher authority says, "Okay, your punishment is gone. I will take your punishment away and strike it as though you're not guilty." And the moment you get saved, every one of your sins has been pardoned by God Himself. Jesus' blood has washed your sin away, and the pardon from the judge of the universe is established on your eternity. Whew. Do you realize you'll never face the punishment for your sins if you're saved? Brother Mike, every one of those last rotten sins that you've ever done up until when you got up this morning, guess what? They've been pardoned. Brother Hawkins, I don't know how he did it, but he got rid of all yours. Yeah, buddy. Folks, God issues a pardon the moment you get saved. In America, we have something called a presidential pardon. The president reserves the right to pardon certain criminals of what their punishment may be. Now, sometimes they use it wisely. Sometimes they don't use it wisely. Doesn't matter. I did a little research this week. I went back to the 1920s with Herbert Hoover. He issued 1,385 presidential pardons. Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued 3,687 presidential pardons. Harry Truman issued 2,044 pardons. Dwight Eisenhower issued 1,157 pardons. JFK issued 575 pardons. Lyndon Johnson issued 1,187 pardons. Richard Nixon issued 926 pardons. Gerald Ford issued 409 pardons, by the way, one of which was Richard Nixon and another Spiro Agnew. Jimmy Carter issued 566 pardons and a whole bunch of peanuts. Ronald Reagan issued 406 pardons. George H.W. Bush Sr. issued 77 pardons. Bill Clinton issued 459 pardons, and President George W. Bush issued 200 pardons. That's roughly about 14,000-15,000 presidential pardons in the last 90 years. That means about 14,000 or 15,000 people who had been found guilty of a crime, tried, and their punishment had been established and sentenced to them, president stepped in and said, it's done. You don't have to serve that. I'll take care of that. Can I tell you something? The God of the universe stepped in and looked at your sins and said, guess what? The moment you trusted my son and trusted what he did for you to take you to heaven, I'll just take care of those sins for you. They're not there. You don't have to take care of that punishment. I've got it cared for. Folks, when you got saved, guess what? You got more than fire insurance against hell. God not only said, I'm going to take care of it. He said, I'm just going to pardon it altogether. It's not even there. Do you realize that all of those 14, 15,000 people can never be tried for that ever again? They can't, it can never be brought back up. It's non-negotiable. Guess what? Your eternity is non-negotiable the moment you got saved. And God reaches down and pardons every one of us. I think it's kind of funny, every year, right before Thanksgiving, the president issues a pardon on a certain turkey so that it can live its life out and die of old age. It's not, it gets pardoned so that it doesn't face the supper table. I'm not telling you that they haven't pardoned each other either, but can I tell you something? If you got saved, you never have to face hell. You never have to face hell. That ought to get some of you excited. Say, well, I get depressed, Brother Bush. Then you ought to look at your salvation and realize God pardoned you, and you never one time have to even see hell. But wait a minute. That's not all. Because you have been a sinner and found condemned to hell, but you got saved, there is therefore now no condemnation. God pardons your sentence, but watch this. He also gives you justification. That's a big word that I paid a lot of money for at college to figure out what it meant. Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse number 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only has your sentence been erased by being pardoned, but the word justification or the word justify means this: your record is wiped clean. Folks, do you realize the moment you get saved, not only does God pardon you from hell, but listen to this, your record is wiped clean. They don't just take your record and secure it to where nobody can get to it. They don't leave your record intact. They say, no, here's their record. Because he's been pardoned, we have to take that out, shred it up, and it's not even there. Brother Barnes, you realize the moment you got saved, every one of your sins, God took it out of your account, and it's not even there. Whew! That's why when God looks at your record, he doesn't see your sin. It was covered in the blood, and it was removed out of your account, and the devil goes to accuse you, and God says, what sin? I don't see any sin. They trusted my son as their savior. Guess what? It's not even there. It's not just been cleaned up. It's gone. Brother York, you ought to thank God for that. I know how bad a sinner you are. Folks, all of our sins that we have ever done are justified by salvation. Do you realize that when Noah, after the flood, got drunk and slept with both of his daughters and had children of his daughters, God justified him and they're gone? You realize that when Moses committed murder because of his salvation, it was gone? Did you realize that when Abraham committed adultery with Hagar, and we still have troubles in the Middle East over that mess? What's going on in Egypt right now is because of Abraham and Hagar and Abraham's sin with Hagar. But guess what? In God's minds, it's not even there. Realize when David committed adultery of Bathsheba and then murdered Uriah, her husband, God said he was justified by faith. Whew. Can I tell you something? This is why your past does not need to hurt you. Because God justified your past. Yeah. Folks, I don't care how far down you went. Guess what? The moment you got saved, it's cared for. Say, but I did it after I got saved. Doesn't matter. God took care of past, present, and future. Some of you need to realize when you got saved, it was all cared for. Not just the past. By the way, I wish man would learn to understand what justification is. We wouldn't want to trot everybody up and talk about their sin. Let me ask you a question. What makes it right for man to want to know everybody else's sin when God says, I took care of it, it's not even there? Why does man want to look into our sin and God said it's not there? Well, I'm so tired of this lack of transparency. Transparency, nothing. You just want to be a gossip. You want to be a devil and be an accuser of the brethren. Well, you're just trying to cover things up. I don't need to cover it up. God took care of it and pulled it out of the record. I'm not covering anything. The blood covered it. It's not there. Well, if you knew so-and-so and what they did, folks, guess what? We all deserve hell. But God pardoned us and God justifies us, and it's not there. It's not in the record book. By the way, if we'd learned to live that way, life would be a whole lot easier. Not only did we get no condemnation, and with that no condemnation, our pardon was cared for. Not only did we get justified in the fact that God took our sin out of the record. Are you ready? I'm about to have a spell. God said he would impute his righteousness to our life. Romans chapter 4, verse number 11. The Bible says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. Watch this, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was written for our sake, not for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe in him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You say, what does the word imputed righteousness mean? Let me show you what I mean. Brother Smith, come on up here. Yeah, put your Bible down. You're a sinner now. You're a sinner all the time. Here's a man that was born like everybody else, and he's a sinner. But one day, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Brother Smith, are you perfect?
No, sir.
Guess what? None of us are we? Because of that, here's a man that had been found guilty, accused, found guilty, tried, and been condemned to hell. But he got saved. God pardoned him. Then God made him justified and pulled all those sins out of his account. But wait a minute. Third thing he got was this. God not only took those sins out of his account, but God put Jesus' righteousness into your account. So that when God looks at Brother Matt Smith, he sees all of the righteous things that Jesus Christ did. When God looks at you, Brother Smith, God sees the fact that you healed people. He saw what Jesus did in the healing of people. He saw when you raised up Lazarus from the dead. You say, I didn't. I know, but that's what God sees. He saw the woman that had the issue of blood that reached out and touched the hem of his garment and Jesus healed him. And God sees that on your account. Every good thing that Jesus did for 33 years, God puts it on your account, and that's what Jesus sees. Listen to this statement very carefully. Just being sinless, you would still die and go to hell. You don't only need sinlessness, you need the righteousness of God added to your account. It's not just sinlessness. It's righteousness added. And the moment you got saved, God added all those righteousnesses to your account. He imputed, he legally took his righteousness, put it into your account after he took out all your bad things. Folks, When you stand before God, you stand before him as Jesus Christ. That ought to make you shout. Have a seat. Folks, can I tell you something? When you stand before God, you stand before him just like Jesus Christ. Why do you listen to the devil? Every time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Say, what's his future? Hell. Because God did not come and die for the devil and his angels. He came and died for you and me. He didn't pardon the devil. He did pardon you and me. He didn't justify the devil. He justified you and me. But wait a minute. He not only did that, but he added Jesus' righteousness to your account. Now listen to me very carefully. You think that's good? Hang on. By the way, that's why this garbage in religion today that your good works save you is garbage. You need not only good works, you need the righteousness of Jesus Christ added to your account. And all the good works alone, well, hopefully the good outweighs the bad. Guess what? If there's any bad at all, you go to hell. He had to take the bad out and put the good in. Not only did you get pardoned, not only did you get justified, not only did you get the righteousness of God imputed to your account, hang on here, but we also get forgiveness. Now, hold my mule while I shout. 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, I couldn't wait to get to this point. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Watch this. You say, but I'm a sinner, Brother Bush. Yeah, but the moment you got saved, God forgave you. Listen to this. What is the purpose of forgiveness? The purpose of forgiveness, if Brother Smith has sinned against me, I am to forgive him, correct? Why? Well, it's because it's what you're supposed to do. No. The reason I am to forgive him is so that he and I can fellowship together again. Guess what? Our purpose as a Christian is to fellowship with God. We don't need forgiveness for God. We need forgiveness so we can fellowship with him again. And the Bible says that the moment you get saved, your ability to fellowship with him has been cared for because he forgives you so that you have access to him again to say, let's talk again. Have a seat. Parents, when your children do something wrong, what happens? Well, you have to correct them. And in that correction, often there's a little separation time. I believe as you correct your children, sometimes you got to even get a little bit more severe. Sometimes you spank them or something. I used to send my kids to the room most times so I could cool down so I didn't beat them to death. Amen. Amen. But I'd get calmed down. I'd smack them right on the place where God created to smack them. And by the way, that's the only place you should. And you ought to be in control when you do. But listen to this statement. After it was over, sometimes before, they'd want to, but Daddy, I love you. Not right now. But Daddy, no, not right now. Ooh, break their little heart. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. But you might warp their psyche. Dad never called it a psyche, but it was warped many a time. And he'd warp it. Guess what? Sometimes there was, well, every time there was crying. See, how do you know? Because he didn't stop till there was. And if it started before, it wasn't real. Now, wait a minute. But there was always that little period of time of separation. Watch this. But then it was, Daddy, I'm sorry. It's okay. I love you. Ha, that's called forgiveness. The fellowship was restored. Can I tell you something? We don't deserve forgiveness from God. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That's wipe the record clean of all unrighteousness. He's able to wipe it away because that took place. The word forgive is a very interesting word. It means to give before the offense. And it's for the one who is offended, not the offender. It is the offended who must grant forgiveness to the offender. But the offender needs to ask God for the forgiveness. He said, just ask me. It's available. Come on. Come on. I'm waiting for you. I want to restore it. Come on. I want a fellowship with you. Folks, the reason we are to ask forgiveness is for fellowship. It is so that you can talk with your God again. It's so that you can sit down in God's lap and warm up to him and say, I'm sorry, but boy, I sure missed my time with you, God. Whew. That's what forgiveness is all about. By the way, boys and girls, just because you say I'm sorry doesn't fix anything. I'm sorry fixes nothing. I think it's the right thing to say, but guess what? You can say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and it doesn't change anything. The drunk that went out last night, got behind the wheel of a car and killed somebody's child, stands in court today, though he may be remorseful over the fact he did it, he can't say, I'm sorry enough to bring that person back to life. So just saying, I'm sorry, does not fix it all. Look at me. But it can restore the fellowship. It can restore the fellowship. Now listen to me very carefully. Some of you need to learn to forgive yourself. You've got past. Okay, it's past. God pardoned it. God took it out of your account. He justified it. He imputed his righteousness. And the moment you said, God, please forgive me, he said, done. Come on. It's done. It's done. But no. Did you ever get one of those? You know, there's a difference between getting whipped and getting a whooping. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever get one of those whoopings? And for about 5 minutes, you're... Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then your mom or your dad looks at you and says, if you don't quit crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. That's what you just did. In other words, it's time to knock it off. It's over. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you are just sitting there going, and God's saying, knock it off. Forgiveness is there. It's done. Past. Judgment, it's all done. Come on, let's get going again. Amen. Isn't that what God wants for you? Hang on. We're going to bring the landing gear down on this one, but we're going to circle the field once. Not only is there no condemnation. Not only did God pardon your sentence, not only did God take all those things out of your account and make it as though it's not there, he didn't just seal the record. He took it out. Then he sealed it up. Not only did he impute his righteousness, before he sealed it up, put the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your account. Not only did he forgive you and make fellowship available for you, but are you ready for this? The Bible says that he made you one of his children. Oh, folks, we deserve hell. Can I tell you how much God loves you? John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now everybody look at me. There are over 6 billion people on the face of the earth, but not all of them are God's children. Matter of fact, most of them aren't. Only those that have trusted Jesus Christ are considered the children of God. Don't you believe this liberal philosophy, well, we're all God's children. No, you're not unless you're saved. Some of you younger people and younger adults even. My mom and dad are those kind of people that you just kind of, they'll adopt anybody as grandparents. Amen. You know, can I be your grandson or your granddaughter? Sure. Guess what? There's only three grandkids in this church that are legal to be able to say that. Now, they might love you as a child or a grandchild, but guess what? There's only three that have that right to say that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, they might love you just as much as they love my kids, and I'm happy for that. My kids don't take offense to that. I don't take offense to it. I think it's great. I got some adopted grandparents and parents in here, and I love it. But may I say this? When you got saved, God adopted you. And you became his child. Now, you might think, you know my dad, and say, well, since I'm an adopted kid, could I have this? You might not be adopted very long. But you know what? I don't have any doubt in my mind. If I called my dad and said, Dad, I got a need. If he had the wherewithal, he'd fill it. Say why? Because I'm his son. The moment you get saved, you become a child of God. Whew. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't stop there. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says something that is just so amazing. Verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Guess what? The moment you become a child of God, you also become an heir of God. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have one brother. And I know. Dad and I and mom have talked about this. My brother and I. When my mom and dad go to heaven, which is going to be a long time from now, Lord willing, but we become heirs of what they have left on the earth. Guess what? God owns it all. Do you know what you get born into when you get saved? You get born into everything that God owns. Can I tell you what God owns? Everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He owns the gold in the hills. He owns the earth. He owns Mars, Mercury, Venus, Neptune, Pluto, whether they call it a planet or not, Uranus, Saturn. He owns all of the solar system. He owns all the stars. He owns the Milky Way. Guess what? He owns all the galaxies. He owns everything. From eternity past to eternity future, it's all his. And guess what? The moment you get saved, you become a child of God and an heir of Jesus Christ, of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. That means you split it 50-50 with him. Well, I can't pay this bill. Did you talk to God about it? Did you? You're a joint heir with him. He's got the wherewithal to pay the bill. Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? We have access to all that God is. several years ago, Dad was buying a car up in Hagerstown. He said, why don't you come with me? I said, sure, I can't buy one, but I like watching you buy one. We went up there and he was talking to the guy. Came time to pay for it all, and he pulled the checkbook out and started writing a check for the balance of it. He got about halfway through the check. Dad, you'll remember this. Jack was sitting on the other side of the table. I was sitting here. Dad was sitting there. I said, hey. He said, what? I said, you can't do that. The salesman's face went. He said, why? I said, you're spending my inheritance. The salesman, I thought, was going to lose his teeth out of his mouth, and they weren't false. Like this. My dad said, if I die, you can have the car. I said, hurry up, finish the check. The guy's sitting there. I mean, he's light knuckling it like this. And him and I are laughing about it. He said, you guys think that's funny? I said, it's not. My dad said, it's fine. Folks, I don't want my dad's money. I don't want his cars. No. Guess what? Can I tell you something? I'd rather have him than his stuff. I want my mom and dad to be comfortable to their last breath. If they spend it all, guess what? You're looking at one happy man. Say why? It's theirs. It's not mine. They worked hard for it. They ought to enjoy it all. But may I say this? I'm a joint heir. My brother lives in Tampa, Florida. Chris and I become joint heirs of what they have left. So are you guys going to fight about it? Nope. He gets whatever he wants and I'll take what's left. I'm not going to fight over it. I got them. That means more to me than their stuff. Can I tell you something? When you got saved, God took your hell and your punishment and he pardoned it. Then he took all your sins and he took them out of your account. Then before he sealed it up, he took all of God's righteousness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and added to your account and then sealed it up. Amen. Not only that, he said, I'll forgive you and you and I can talk to each other again. And not only that, you become a child of God. Not only that, but you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ and inherit everything that God has. And that's an awful lot. Let me ask you a question. That's why you have heaven. That's why he gives us heaven. That's why he gives us the opportunity to go to him in prayer because fellowship has been restored. That's why he allows us to ask for others. I'll promise you this. If I knew somebody in this church had a need, watch this, and I personally could not fill it, but I felt like they could. I went to my dad and said, Dad, Brother Ron's down here and he's got a need. I just can't do it right now. What do you think we could do? By the way, I've watched people do this. I'm not saying him and I, but my dad would say, I can take care of that. Here, why don't you give it to him? You take care of that need. Folks, do you know how fun it is to go to God and say, God, do you know someone's got a need? I know somebody does. If you could help me, I'll give it to them. Say, how'd you get that? By forgiveness so that I could fellowship with him? How'd you get that? Because God imputed Jesus' righteousness to my account? How'd you get that? Because God took out of my account all my sin and added to it Jesus's. How'd you get that? Because he took my death sentence of hell and he pardoned it, and I am not condemned in the sight of God anymore. Why in the world does anybody not want to get saved? I don't understand it. Well, I'm trying to do it myself. I don't care what you do, you're not good enough. And you're going to screw it up because you're sinful. Just like I'd screw it up because I'm sinful. Can I tell you something? The greatest thing to ever happen to you, you'd realize that you're a sinner. You realize you're a sinner because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. But Jesus Christ came and paid that sin debt for you. He paid for it in full. And if you'll trust what he did to take you to heaven, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. Say, what does that mean, Brother Bush? It means that your sentence of hell has been pardoned. It means that he takes your account and pulls out every illegal, wrong, sinful thing. It means that he imputes his righteousness and puts it in there, seals it up by the Holy Spirit, so that God only sees the record of Jesus Christ. Not only that, it says that he forgives us, allows us to fellowship with him, and we become his children and joint heirs with Jesus Christ to everything that God has. There is therefore now no condemnation. Whew. Some of you live with guilt. guess what? There's no condemnation. Listen to this statement very carefully. Some of you are trying to hold somebody else's past against him. There is therefore now no condemnation. Did you get that? Why do you want to be like the devil? Why do you want to be like the devil? Well, you don't know what they did. We don't know what you did either. You think you're perfect? Let me see the nail prints in your hands. Let me see the empty grave you got up out of. Guess you have nothing to condemn anybody for, do you? Who made you the judge of the universe? Well, I'm tired of the lack of transparency. Guess what? You can't see through blood. And if you could, you'd open up my account and guess what? He took all the bad out. It's not there. Not only that, he put all of Jesus' good there. Nah, 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 nah. What right do we have to judge anybody? None. And because of all that, you've been forgiven. Because you've been forgiven, you get to be his child and say, Daddy, I got a need. Daddy, I need some help. Daddy, there's a bunch of people I know that need help. Would you help them? I'll help you help them. But I don't have the wherewithal, but you do. He might look at you and say, that's part of your inheritance. It's okay, let's spend it. Let's help him. Guess what? His funds never run out. His account never goes dry. And there is therefore now no condemnation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, is there one here who would say, Brother Bush, I've been playing Christianity. Maybe I haven't even been playing Christianity. But if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I've never trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. You need to get saved. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. God bless you, sir. Someone else. God bless you, someone else. To those of you that just raised your hand saying, I'm not sure, in a moment, we'll all stand to our feet. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. At that time, you just step out into the aisle. We'll have somebody take the Bible, show you how you can know for sure. In a moment of time, you don't have to walk out of this place not sure of heaven. But may I say this, at that moment that you get saved, God will pardon you. Hell will no longer be your future. God will take all those sins and pull it out of your account. He'll add the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He will restore fellowship by forgiveness, and you become his child. All in one little motion. Hey, child of God, how you been acting? You holding somebody else's sin against them? Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Maybe you need to use this altar and forgive yourself. Maybe you need to restore the fellowship with you and your God. Whatever the need.